Welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. I'm Ludmila, founder and CEO of Rampic, a B2B digital marketing agency. We help tech founders get the most of their marketing effort and promote their stories to our audience. We believe that every tech founder has a unique story and their business needs attention. Stick around till the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can become our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Hello and welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge, the podcast in the space where tech founders and leaders share their unconventional vision and stories. And today I am here with Sean Languido, the CEO of Outforce.ai. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and it's great to be here.
Sean, you are 5X tech founder. That's impressive. And our audience is tech founders from different stages in their journey. But can you just like probably walk us through your entrepreneurship story? Because 5X is impressive.
Well, they're not all exits. So I like to say this is my fifth, and the first four, I'm from Canada. So I like to say, you know, all of my companies went south. Two of them went to the United States. So I've had two wins and two losses, and I learn a lot along that way. I mean, I've bought companies, I've financed companies, I've built from scratch. I've taken over as a turnaround CEO. So yeah, I've had a lot of experience in the space and in various domains as well. So it's been very interesting. I'm much more of an entrepreneur from the business side and I'm a sales CEO, as opposed to a technical founder. And so I really look at problems from the business perspective and see what technology can enable the solution, as opposed to building a technology and trying to find a business that needs it.
Oh, that's awesome. And how was the Outforce.ai, the company that you're currently like CEO at, how was that founded? And what brought you from all of those experiences that you have to this point?
Part of it is the experience of actually outsourcing. So Outforce.ai is not an engineering agency. We are more like a broker to help our clients find the best matching agencies, which is sadly lacking in the market. I found that when I was, you know, you'd hit every company I ran, you had an inflection point of growth or a elastic demand for engineering that would require you to, for some reason, you know, reluctantly outsource, right? And reluctantly, I say, because most outsourcing experiences have not been successful. They're statistically 39% fail, and which means that somewhere around 60% work. But I would say that 60% don't work, because there's another 20% where people just plow through with the agencies they pick because they spent so much time trying to get them to figure it out for them, to get them to an efficiency point, and then they just carry on. So I would say there's a high chance of failure, very similar to hiring, but when you're doing it with a lot of people, it's a lot more expensive and it's a lot more, and there's a lot of time consumption involved. So that's kind of why I did it. There's just, the problem is nobody really, if you're an entrepreneur, you know, you're busy building the business. Your engineering team is building product, they're dealing with tickets, and they're fully booked out, right? So suddenly you get this big client come in the door and they need a new interface or something like that. APIs need to be built, or you get a venture check and you've got to grow twice as fast as you've ever grown, or your technology is so bootstrapped from the beginning and now you're becoming a really mature company and you need to refactor all that technical debt and just completely build from the bottom up. Those are major reasons to outsource. And you know, this is your baby, you don't want to just give it to anybody. So the problem is, most people, you know, they'll go say, hey, you know, do you know anybody, Ludmila, like, and you know actually, one of our first and best agencies came from Belarus. So you'll know people, but if you know people who are good, that agency is probably already booked out with their best engineers as well. So you really need to have a large data set. And so nobody really has the time to go and look everywhere. As a result, they don't really have a lot of data to make a good decision. And generally, they don't have a process to eliminate the good from the bad. Most people go through a really unfortunate process of, you know, if they've run out of options in their friend network, then they go online and then, you know, typically look Eastern Europe, Latin America, South America. And then, you know, I mean, just in Ukraine, there's still 1,600 engineering firms. Like, where do you start? Right. And it's like saying, hey, I want to start a hockey team. Well, let's go to Canada. There's great hockey players in Canada. And you could throw a dart in the country and you might land on me. Well, I'm a skier. So you'd have a terrible hockey team if you picked me, right? So you can't really base it on country. You base it on the company that has the most project experience in your domain and the most people in the tech stack in which you're working. That eliminates a ton of onboarding. And that therefore means that there's a good chance they're going to hit the ground running. And that's how we've tagged all the companies in our database. We have 79,000 companies in our database. So you go from a very large set down to maybe a couple hundred that would meet exactly your criteria. And I mean subdomain, like it may be in marketplaces, but is it B2B? And what domain in B2B is it? Is it logistics? Those kinds of things. Then, and how many people on their bench in your tech stack, let's say it's Ruby on Rails and React, but then who do they have available when we're asking? That's the critical factor. Because the third mistake people make, besides looking for friends who have a good company and then hoping that company's going to hire somebody for you, looking in a geography and figuring out that it's a big mess, or just Googling, and inevitably you end up meeting the senior executive of the company. And that's who you want to meet because you're the senior executive of your company. Well, guess what? They've had thousands of interviews like that before, and they know exactly what to say, and they're going to tell you everything you want to hear. And you're going to come out of that meeting going, oh, man, these people are fantastic. They totally get me. This is awesome. And then you don't know that they don't have anybody available that's for the project. So they're just going to go and search like crazy and maybe hire another contractor from another company, because there's a lot of that that goes on, especially in Eastern Europe, where most people are freelancing, contracting, working for a contractor. One company, the next day they're at another one. So they're just going to scramble to get you who they can get, which is not what you want. You want a team that's worked together in your domain. And they've worked together, so they're finishing each other's sentences. You know, 1 + 1 = 5 in terms of productivity when you're coding, right? So that's what we end up finding out of a large data set, getting down to the bottom and looking at who's available and have they worked together in that domain, et cetera. And so we have a 98% hit rate as a result of that process, but you can't do that on your own. And that's kind of why I started the business, because I needed help myself and there was nowhere to go. One individual on contractor, sure, go to Upwork, go to whatever, Fiverr, massive enterprise applications, you know, and digital transformation for the big enterprise companies. That's Deloitte, that's IBM Services, you know, Infosys, everybody else. They play always safe bets. And even big ones for us medium-sized companies are safe bets, but they're a bit bloated, so they're a little more expensive. So we find the boutique that knows exactly what you need. That's why I built the company.
That's awesome. And it's like being right there in that sweet spot where you can serve so many medium-sized companies and you can actually help medium-sized vendors as well.
Yeah.
How do you vet your vendors? What's the vetting process? Is the trust and outsourcing is a huge issue. So how do you work with that risks?
Yeah. So for vendors, they love it as well, because a better match for them is a better result for them, which means a greater endorsement, right? And that's what's beautiful about it. Because some company that specializes in health tech gets a call from somebody who's in logistics and says, hey, I heard you're good. You want to do it? Can you do this for us? Of course they're going to say yes, right? They don't know anything about logistics. They don't know anything about logistics. And so they're just scrambled to figure it out. And that's 3 months of onboarding for the client. That's not a good experience. So getting health tech companies for that health tech specialized firm is really good. And, you know, so we reverse engineer the questioning. We don't say, hey, I've got a health tech company. Can you help? We say, look, we represent North American growth tech companies or even non-tech companies who are looking for engineering capacity. If we brought you the perfect client, what business would it be in? Oh, we do marketplaces. Oh, we do fintech. You know, that's, we get real answers based on what their project experience is. And if they're a bigger firm, we give them up to about six. If they're really big, we give them about nine. And then, you know, tell me about the bench, you know, who have you got and what's their experience and what's their favorite frameworks and languages. So we can start tagging them for that. And that's the first level of vetting. And then obviously we get down right down to the, when they're solicited, we interview the team that is presented and get a sense of how they're communicating with each other and whether they're curious, whether they're continuous learners, those kinds of attributes that you kind of look for. And then we really look at then we speak to the management about the culture of the company, you know, things like turnover rate, our obvious signs of trouble, how they've dealt when problems, you know. So if they answer really well, we look for body language, whether they're telling the truth or not. And then we, you know, inevitably say, well, I can't tell you the key question that reveals some other things. But yeah, we have really good ways of probing and quickly doing that at scale to enable the client to make quick decisions on who they think the top five are out of a list of, say, that what we've narrowed down to maybe 20. And then we set up for interviews with the client with those top five. And what we really look for is culture. I mean, that, so a lot of companies can hit it at tech stack and domain and might have a good team, but it's the cultural gap that, I mean, and that's not just like from North America to another continent. It's also the nuance of the culture of the company. Are they really, you know, continuous improvement, continuous development, or are they agile, or are they waterfall? What's their style of development? All these things really play a factor. And then the communications abilities, do they understand the nuance of what we're saying here, right? And nuance is so critical in communication. So those are some of the due diligence efforts we put in. And you know, you can do this on your own. And I recommend, you know, there are places you can go, but it's a heavy lift to do the due diligence on a lot of companies, which is what we offer as a scale.
It is a very lengthy process to hire an outsourcing partner, and I really appreciate how thought after your process is, because that's definitely cutting down the risks and time and the pain of finding the right one quickly. That's amazing. And if I am to send a couple of potential vendors your way, what would be the best way to connect with you?
So come through our website for that.
And, which is outforce.ai, like outforce.ai.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And we have a portal for vendors to describe themselves, and then one of our team will call and actually ask the right questions and get more details if there's a gap in what we've asked for. Yeah.
And do you have any preferences in terms of, I understand that Outforce AI is somewhat industry agnostic, right? So you can find matches probably from all the angles, but when it comes to the questions or the industries that come to your radar more often, what would that be?
A lot of fintech and health tech actually do come. Marketplaces, it's ranged though. I mean, we've done golf applications. I mean, it really ranges. Like, so it could be an entrepreneur who's come around the, you know, who's been around the horn a couple times and realizes, you know what, I'm not going to give up a bunch of my equity to my first engineer until I know I've got product market fit. So I'll use an outsource agency that has a really good UX designer, and you know, really an architect, solutions architect. So I'll get that as a package, and they understand my domain, so they know what I'm building. And then they build the proof of concept, get proof of market demand for it, because everything's going to change as soon as you put something out, right? So you finally get product market fit, then you've got more leverage in your conversations with anyone you want to bring as a technical lead in your own company. And you don't have to give up as much equity to get that technical piece built. And you also have a partner that can scale with you if you want to go further. The other is, like I said, refactoring and stuff like that. But we built a bank from scratch, for example. We had a company, we helped a company build a bank from scratch. Canada only has really five big banks. One of them said, rather than try and peel the onion back, because they're all on all these old, you know, batch systems to keep up with all the fintech companies that are asking for them as a back end service. So one of them said, let's build from bottom up. And Google sponsored them. So you got a major bank and a major tech partner. They needed, you know, senior DevOps, 15 years experience with at least 5 years banking experience. So they knew products. Okay. You can find those in New York and, you know, this, in this case was a Montreal based company. And then here's the kicker. They had to have at least 3 years of Golang. Well, okay. Forget it. Nobody, right? Their head of engineering was formerly Accenture's head of global partnerships. So he said, I don't need you guys. I know everybody. So 2 months later, he came back and said, okay, I know a lot of people, but they're not the right ones. We'll give you a shot. Within 2 weeks, we had seven companies, each of which had built at least two BASCOs, banking as a service companies. So built the infrastructure that we were talking about building. And they all had worked in Go. So one of them had built four, and their whole team, which was about 15, had just come off building a bank product and were ready to go. So boom, these people were contributing to product more than the skeleton engineering team that they'd already built their own. So it was awesome. And they were very successful as a result. And then we added three more teams to them later on. It was awesome. But that's the kind of specialty, you know, how do you find that thing? Well, you got to have a big database.
Wow. And it's pretty much a sophisticated matching process that you definitely have under the hood at AI.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story, because usually what you hear about outsourcing is bad stories. And yep. Hopefully the work that you do and the product that you're building, so Outforce AI can actually change that, because outsourcing is some sort of like it has a stigma for so many, because so many people have been burned before. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to hear that you are solving this problem at scale, mm-hmm. and also from like the ethical perspective. I guess it's not just a win-win, but it's also win-win and win for everybody.
Yeah. The contract is very fair. Like we keep involved as the project is progressing. And so we sort of manage the HR piece of it. You know, if it's interesting, when you do meet a team, you know, if you're talking to five people in an interview, you know, some people can hide in their communication skills or other soft skills, which are important, right? And then suddenly they get distributed, or, you know, if it's staff augmentation or if they're their own team and they're in standups and you never hear from this person, going, hey, come on, what's going on? And you find out they're just so introverted. They may be great programmer, but they just don't fit in the culture. So we get the call and they say, hey, you know, Jose is not working out. What do we do? So we call the vendor and say, look, Jose is not working out. Give me four options before next sprint. And so four options get interviewed because they have the bench, right? That's the part we checked out. We know they've got more people if one of them doesn't work out. And boom. Next sprint, here's Juan, and Juan's just rocking it, and away you go. So that's the nice part as well. And that's the benefit of not, you know, Upwork is great, like I said, if you only want one, but if you want more than one, you want them kind of clustered and managed by another company and, you know, some sort of accountability, and they want to be, you know, culturally together and everything like that. So that's why a B2B solution for agency finding is really critical.
Yeah. Sean, thank you so much. I am very impressed with it's really hard to find your place in outsourcing ecosystem. And it looks like Outforce is definitely building a lot of bridges over a lot of gaps in the space. It's great to know you and your business better. So everybody who is listening, and especially the tech companies, and especially tech companies on the outsourcing field out there, I personally know a few people to whom I definitely send the link to this episode as soon as it's live.
Yeah.
Please feel free to get connected with Sean on LinkedIn, so Sean Languedoc, or it's better, go check out the outforce.ai website and hopefully apply as a vendor. Sean, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ludmila.
Ludmila here. Thanks so much for listening to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. If you are a B2B tech founder who would like to be on the show, visit podcast.rampic.agency. If you've got something from this interview that you would like to share, please go ahead and post the link to this episode on social media. Just grab a link, send it to a friend. If you know someone who will be a great guest on the show, tag them in your post to let them know about the show and include our podcast name, which is B2B Tech Founders Lounge, in your post. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are adding new episodes frequently, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast. This means a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Visit us at Rampic Agency website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.